There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
Thank you for tuning into the podcast. This is going to be a new chapter on this last day of the week. This is Friday. We certainly are thankful for the Word of God, thankful for the preaching of the Word of God, for the privilege we have to come over the internet to bring this podcast to you. I'd like to welcome our folks that listen locally here in the Chambersburg-Shippensburg area, Greencastle, down even down to Hagerstown. We have a lot of folks that listen just over the mountain. We see a lot of folks that download from the local area up into Harrisburg and Carlisle, over in Big Cove Tannery, places like that. We certainly are thankful. We appreciate you listening. We hope that the Word of God is a blessing and a help to you. We're going to be in South Liberty Baptist Church. That's in Liberty, Maine, on the south side of Liberty, Maine. We're going to be there on Sunday at 10:30 and then for an afternoon service following a meal. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 7 o'clock each night. So if you're in the area, if you listen to the podcast, you're in Maine, would love to have you come. And it's a Bible conference. We'll be teaching the Word of God, preaching the Word of God. Thursday night, we'll be up at Dover Foxcroft, just one service up there, and just see what the Lord is going to do, because Brother Craig Cobb and the folks there. And then Sunday, we'll be down at the Tremont Baptist Church. That's in the town of Tremont near Seal Cove in Maine. And we certainly look forward to be with Brother Barnes and the folks there as well. They've been a great supporter of this podcast, so we certainly appreciate them helping, appreciate them listening, and we look forward to being in the house of God in the state of Maine. The Lord of God goes forth in this podcast each and every day. We do this Monday through Friday. There are times we don't have time to record, times we don't have the ability to record through sickness and things like that has happened to us last week. But we try to record every day the Word of God, and we do that verse by verse through books of the Bible. Right now, we're in the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 10, just a couple more weeks in the book of Hebrews, and we'll probably be done and moving on to a different book. And we're praying that God will give us wisdom and what to preach and what to teach and instruction in the Word of God. But in Hebrews chapter 10, the Word of God says much about the law of God, about the sacrifices that are offered. For he says in verse 1, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered, year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect." And so though every single year, year by year, they would come down and offer those sacrifices for sin, and they would come for their cleansing, come for their sanctification, yet it would not make them perfect. We see the Word of God speaks of the burnt offering. Word of God speaks in the Word of God that meat offering, that bread of life. It's cast into that fire. We see that trespass offering, the sin offering. And we see these things in the peace offering. We see the Word of God and what it describes in that offering for sin. But to have an offering, you must have a sacrifice. To offer an animal, it must be sacrificed. That's what God speaks of. For these things were a shadow. Those sacrifices, those lambs that died, those bullocks that died, those turtle doves that died, each and every one of them was offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. And part of that is the understanding. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. We talked about that this week already. And therefore, those animals had to die that an offering could be made unto the Lord as a sweet savor. But these things were just a shadow. They were a shadow on earth of the heavenly. They could not make the comer perfect. They could not change a man. But what they could do is when that blood was put upon that altar and they could find the forgiveness of sins, a covering for their sin, their sins were hidden from the eyes of God by the blood of that animal. But again, it's a shadow. For then they would not have ceased to be offered. What they had been perfect, they would have stopped. Because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. They would not be in the business of sinning. The old adage that years ago was there's two basic types of Bible believers. There's the Arminian and there's the Calvinist. And that was the mindset for many, many years in America. There are Armenian Baptists, Calvinist Baptists. There are other groups, and each one would lay claim to one of those areas of doctrine, matters of doctrine. But then there's the biblicist position. There's the Bible believer position. I believe all along there's been men that just believe the Word of God. They did not adhere to man-made philosophy. They did not adhere to man-made practices. They believe the Word of God. And the reason they believed that is because they themselves had their conscience purged of sins. They didn't have to hold over people's heads the fact that if they sin, they're going to lose their salvation. And they didn't have to hold the fact that people simply by election have been chosen to be saved. They go out and live how they choose to live. And not all live that way. Many of them would live holy. But they believe that God just chose them to be saved. There's no obligation on their part to be saved. And then there's those that fear they lose their salvation. And they wreck their lives and ruin their lives because they believe that they've thrown away what God has given them. They've sinned away a day of grace. And all over the place, there's people with not out clean consciences. They're struggling with sin. They're struggling in doubts. Am I saved? Am I not saved? They're going to endure to the end. They're holding on to the end in a hope that they'll make it to heaven one day when the Word of God is very clear that they can have their conscience purged from sin. It's the great joy of the believer. It's the great joy that God gives, that peace of God that passeth all understanding, that conscience has no more knowledge of sin, why God has purged that conscience with the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the doctrine of the Word of God. There are folks today that name the name of Christ, yet they feel guilty. They name the name of Christ, but they don't know that they're clean. They've named the name of Christ, but they don't have that confidence to say, I know that Jesus Christ is in me and I am in him. They don't have that confidence that they might know that they have eternal life. And this life is in his Son. But yet they ought to have that conscience because there's no more conscience of sins in Jesus Christ. But in those sacrifices, that's those ones that are a shadow of the Old Testament, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. And so remembrance, every year you got to come remember your sins. Every year you got to remember what you've done. Every year you got, it sounds like modern religion today. You got to come down once a week and tell the priest what you've done. You got to come down and speak through a knot hole to somebody sitting in there, and they're going to tell them what you've done. And of course, you're going to lie about those really terrible things you've done. And you're going to try to fool the priest because he is just a man. And you're not going to tell the truth about the things you've done. But your conscience has them brought up time and time and time again. And my friend, that's what the blood of bullocks did. That's what the blood of lambs did. That's what the blood of turtle doves did. It was a remembrance year after year that you're a sinner. But not possible. He said, for it's not possible the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Therefore, those sins were covered. And if you sing those songs, oh, get me started on that. They love all these songs. They're about covered by the blood. I'm covered by the blood. I've been covered by the blood. My sins are hidden. And they go through all these things. And I'm in song after song after song. It's a little pet peeve of mine, to be honest with you. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I am now clean. I have been purged. My conscience is clean. There is no remembrance of sin in my conscience because my conscience is no longer defiled by sin. My conscience has been awakened to walk in the newness of life that Christ has put me into. And my friend, I walk in that newness daily with Jesus Christ. I die daily. Why? Because my conscience is now clean. That's a promise of God. I don't have to go peel the blood back to look to see if my sins are still under there. I don't have to hope that maybe he didn't miss a sin. I don't have to hope that maybe when he sprinkled, he didn't get a little bit on that one corner of the altar and I still got those little vile things hidden. I don't have to worry about that blood being washed off my sins and it still being there. He washed us in his own blood. He has purged us. He has made us clean. Hey, the blood of bulls and goats could not wash away sin. They could not take away sin. It was impossible. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now, he's quoting David, the psalmist there. He's quoting him because David said the same thing in Psalm chapter 40 when he said, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. That's Psalm 40 and verse 6. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. So he's prophesying. He's speaking of that one which is to come. He's speaking of that one that was brought out of a horrible pit. He's speaking of that one here that's not going to require burnt offering, not going to require sin offering. Why? Then said I, and that's first person, that is David speaking by the Spirit of Christ, lo, I come. whose I, with the I am, are the Word of God. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Well, who is the volume of the book written of? It's written of Jesus Christ. And he is in the volume of the book. When you read the Word of God, you're reading Jesus Christ. I had a man recently said, I was never taught to look for Christ in Scripture. I was never taught to look for Christ in Psalms. I've had many say to me over the years. I was never taught to look for Jesus Christ in the volume of the book. He was only a New Testament Christ to them. That's why he told you in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. What law is that? Well, the whole law of God. But that includes the offerings for sin. They're written upon his heart. They are in his heart. The Word of God tells us that. That's why he delights to do the will of God. He said, I have not hid thy righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness. And then he goes on, he says he didn't do this to the great congregation. Isn't that a wonderful promise? That's Jesus Christ speaking. He's speaking through David the prophet there. Back in the book of Hebrews, in burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. So he had no pleasure in the offerings of those animals. That's what he said. Yet it was required. But you know what pleased the Lord? It pleased him to bruise Jesus Christ. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. In verse 11 of Isaiah 53, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Why? By his knowledge shall my righteous servant, Jesus Christ, justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. What could that bull not do? What could that animal not do? What could that lamb not do? What was it impossible? He could not bear the iniquities of the people. And my friend, though Aaron would take that lamb and he would divide it up and it would be a portion, he would bear the iniquity, not the lamb. He would bear the iniquity of the people. How would he do that? Under that mitre that said holiness to the Lord. He would bear the iniquity of many. The lamb did not bear that iniquity. That bullock did not bear that iniquity. Those doves did not bear that iniquity. Aaron, that great high priest of God, he would bear the sins of the people, and he would bear them under holiness to the Lord, deity, a mitre upon his head, and then he would ingest them where they were hidden by that breastplate of 12 stones upon a field of gold, that's deity, and that ointment had run down and covered those stones. That's how he bore the iniquities of the people. But what could not bear the iniquity? The sacrifice and offerings which were offered. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not. Neither hadst pleasure therein which are offered by the law. So the Lord did not take pleasure in those things, but he took pleasure in his dear son. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. When he saw the travail of his soul, he was satisfied. That's what God took pleasure in. He didn't take pleasure in that tabernacle and the offerings of bulls and of lambs. No, it was a way to forgive sins. It was his method of that shadow upon earth to forgive sins. But he didn't take pleasure in that. What he took pleasure in was in his son. What he took pleasure in was in the death of his son, the travail of his son. Once for sin he was offered. And God took great pleasure. And he said, neither hast pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, thank God. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ spoke again. Thank God the Word of God came to fruition. The Word of God spake. The Word of God came to the forefront. And he said, lo, I come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To do thy will, O God. That's why in the garden he gave his will to the Father. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And thank God he came to do the will of God. Thank God Jesus Christ came. Thank God he taketh away the first that he may establish the second. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, he's prepared a body for him. Who is that body? The Holy One of God, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And that's not up for debate. That's not up for dispute. When men come and want to contend over the body of Christ, They sound like Michael the Archangel durst not bring a railing accusation against Satan. And they sound like Satan, though, wrestling over the body of Christ. And my friend, they wrestle over that holy one of God. He is that offering. He is that one that was sacrificed. Had he not died, there would have been no sin offering. Had he not died, there would have been no meat offering. The bread of life was offered with the burnt offering. Had he not died, there would be no peace offering. Had he not died, I would still be bearing my sins and still be bearing my iniquities. And my friend, yet he died to take my sins away. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is a better promise, just to let you know. That is a better covenant. That is a better hope. That is a better testament. He taketh away the first. What is that? The law of those animals, that he may establish the second. What is that? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and of death. Lord willing, we'll be back on here Monday to continue chapter 10.
There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord. As he cries for forgiveness and mercy, God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVeigh. For correspondence, please contact us through our website and someevangelist.com. And use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine Evangelist Tim McVeigh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manasseh Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania, 17006. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home, and the saints all with gladness are singing.